But we'll get started if you would. Grab your Bibles, turn with Psalm 120. Psalm 120, we'll get started there. I'm going to be filling in for Pastor Legault for the next couple of weeks for Sunday school hour anyways. And I think we're going to focus a little bit on prayer this morning and probably carry over into next Sunday, and we'll just kind of look at some things on prayer. Some of it will be a good reminder. Some of it will be some new things that maybe for you, or something you just maybe haven't thought about in a while. So Psalm 120, he starts off, "In my distress I cried unto the Lord, and he heard me. Deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips and from a deceitful tongue. What shall be given unto thee, or what shall be done unto thee, thou false tongue? Sharp arrows of the mighty, coals of juniper. Woe is me that I sojourn in Mesech, that I dwell in the tents of Kedar. My soul hath long dwelt with him that hateth peace. I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war." And so here we find one of the obvious moments in the scripture. Someone's crying to the Lord, and usually you find that over and over again in the Psalms, especially. "In my distress I cry out unto the Lord," or those kind of things. This is the idea of prayer. Why do we get to pray? Why do we use prayer? Why does God avail us of that? And so we'll start there. We're going to cover a bunch of things this morning. Maybe I'll get through a lot of it. Maybe I'll just get through a little bit of it. We'll see what the Lord does. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Father, we thank you for the day. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your mercies to us. I thank you that we're able to be here and we're out, Lord. The snow kind of pushed out, and we're doing all right with the sunshine today. Father, I pray you'd stay that way, and you just bless the services. Be with those who can't be here, whether they're away, they're working, or, Father, they're not feeling well. Lord, we have some of that, so please just strengthen and help our church family. Father, bless the day. Be with the Sunday school hour especially. Lord, help us as we take a look at some things in the Word of God about prayer today, that you would just honor and bless your Word. Father, we love you, and I do pray that if someone comes in today, Lord, whether they're an adult over here or whether they're one of the kids in Sunday school, Father, they'd hear the gospel today and they'd call upon Jesus Christ alone to save them. Father, bless us this day in Jesus' name. Amen. Prayer, we're looking at prayer a little bit this morning, and we start with the purpose of prayer. Why do we pray? And this is the most obvious version of why we pray. We pray because we're in trouble. Help, saved or lost, this is the most natural reaction. Whether somebody's a Christian, whether they're an atheist, whether they believe in whatever God they believe in, they cry out to somebody because they're in trouble, they're in distress, they have problems, the issues have come, and the pressure is too much and it's too great, and the things that they're dealing with they know are greater than what they can handle or they can deal with, and eventually, everybody, for the most part, the idea is that everybody would cry unto God in their distresses. Hebrews chapter 4 makes it that we come to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We need Him, whether we realize it or not. Sometimes God hasn't heard from us in a while as a Christian, as saved people, and we have to go to God because He brings troubles in our lives, just so we remember that He's the one who takes care of all of our troubles. And so we come to Him for help. Why do we pray? Well, we come to Him first and foremost. We usually come just literally for any help that we could possibly need. And the saved world does that, but the lost world does it too, whether they want to admit it or not. And that's one of the main purposes of prayer. But notice, if you would, just turn back one chapter, Psalm 119. Psalm 119. And verse number 169, we're right near the end here. He says, "Let my cry come near before thee, O Lord. Give me understanding according to thy word. Let my supplication come before thee. Deliver me according to thy word. My lips shall utter praise when thou hast taught me thy statutes. My tongue shall speak of thy word, for all thy commandments are righteousness. Let thine hand help me, for I have chosen thy precepts. I have longed for thy salvation, O Lord, and thy law is my delight. Let my soul live, and it shall praise thee, and let thy judgments help me. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. The second thing we pray for, the reason that we pray, the purpose we pray, is just for our requests, what we'd like to see God do. What do we want Him to do? That doesn't mean that He's going to grant all of our requests, and there's different prayer promises that we'll look at later, but we can make a request and not get exactly what we requested. But the hope is that we can make those requests, He'll hear those requests, and He'll decide upon them. You realize that if you never make a petition to God, you are limiting what God can do. It's hard to grant a request when nobody requests. Right? My kids, they'll come to me, and they can be crying, they could be whining, they could be whatever, and if they don't actually tell me what's wrong or what they need or what's happening, I can't do anything. My hands are tied. I can give you a hug, I can pick you up, I can look at you, I can feel sympathy, but if you don't actually say what you'd like, you have not because, yes, not. Okay, well, if you don't ask, how's He going to do anything about it? Now, you say, well, you know, He knows everything that I need. Well, He does, but He's waiting for you to figure out that you need Him to fulfill it. And He's waiting for you to ask. You know, I mean, blind Bartimaeus is sitting there. I use that illustration a lot. It's very easy to see it in the passage, ironic. Blind Bartimaeus, it's easy to see it. And so here you are, and he goes, well, what do you want me to do for you? Well, Lord, that I might receive my sight. Okay, well, obviously, everybody knew Bartimaeus was blind. Jesus knew that. But he waited to heal him until he asked him. He wants us to be able to make the request so he can do what we're asking. He wants to fulfill the requests that we have. Philippians chapter 4, there's a bunch of verses for all of these, obviously. You know, Philippians chapter 4, we're casting all our care upon him. Be careful for nothing, but everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. What do you want God to do? Now, that seems really simple, but sometimes we don't really know what we want Him to do. We're in category number one that I just talked about. We're in trouble and we're in distress. We're having some issues, but we don't even know what the right answer is. So all we end up with is, Lord, do what you can do. Do something with it. I don't even know what's best, but I want you to do something. See, if you don't even ask Him to do anything, you're in trouble. You may not know exactly what you'd want, but you can make a request of some kind to help you. You know, Brother Thomas and I have talked about this several times, different trucks that we've prayed for. His red Ford was a big prayer request for Brother Thomas. He just forgot one little thing in his request. He got everything that he asked for, I think, right? I'm remembering this right. He just forgot one little piece. 4x4, right? Was that it? And not red. He ended up with a red pickup truck. That's what he got. But say, it's kind of a silly thing. Two things. He missed two things. Oh, two times. He got it two times. You can ask God and request, and He'll come through on everything you asked for. But if you forgot about something, He may not give that to you. The requests that we make, they're particular. He wants them to be particular. Don't think that you can be so, you know, greedy. Well, I'm just being selfish, or I'm being greedy, or I'm being... Ask. See, the best part is He can say no. He's allowed. So if you're being greedy and you're trying to get it for yourself and you're trying to gain too much, He may go, no, I'm not going to give you that part, but I'll give you the rest. See, our trouble is we limit God based upon our requests. And He lets us do that. He's not doing it because He's being mean. He's not doing it because He's being just, you know, awful. He wants your requests, and then He gets to decide what He fulfills on that request. I would rather be asked about some things so that I can go ahead and fulfill those than not be asked at all and not be able to help somebody. We've told people in the church, especially all winter long, if you need help with your snow, we need to know. If we don't know, we can't help you. Well, the Lord wants to help you. He's not somebody who's... See, prayer is amazing. He wants to help you. He wants to give. He wants to do... He's a giver. God's not a taker. He's a giver. He's always supplying. He's not somebody who wants to take things from us. He wants to supply them. So he wants to hear your requests, the things that you want, the things that you think would be great, the things that you desire. God wants to hear those. So what if he doesn't give them to me? Well, then he knows what's best. Don't worry about that. We'll get to some of that later. But prayer is a wonderful thing that we have because he wants to know what we want. And maybe he'll give you what you want. Now, every once in a while. Now, I guess, I don't know, Brother Thomas, I'm picking on Brother Thomas. I don't know why. He's right there. Brother Tom, if you were Brother Thomas's kid and you wanted ice cream, that was a green light all the way. I don't know how it wouldn't be with how much Brother Thomas loves ice cream. But most of the rest of us... Your kids ask for ice cream. It's not an every time thing, right? You got to curb some of those. There's, you know, I want a soda, or I want all this juice, or I want this, or I want candy. What kid doesn't want candy and juice and like all the things that, you know, right? And your answer has to be, well, no. But if it's always no, right, that gets a little heavy. Every once in a while, you go, okay, well, we're doing something special today. And so we give you something you want, but that's not every time. So don't be surprised if the Lord's not like every time you say you want something, he just gives it to you, not thinking, because he's looking out for what's best for you. So sometimes we want things, and sometimes we don't get what we want just because God says, nah, I can't really do that for you today. But on a special day, every once in a while, you get all the things that you wanted. And so... you just have to trust that God knows what's best in your requests. So we pray because we need help. We pray because we've got some requests that God could do. Look over at Psalm 150. The last Psalm. Psalm 150. Nothing deep today. Nothing deep. Psalm 150, verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with a psaltery and harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise him upon the loud cymbals. Praise him upon the high sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Give him some praise. Sometimes our prayer life is not really necessarily about you and me. It's not always about getting what you can get. We are needy and we need him. That is indisputable. We need God and we need God to do things. We are living in a world today where we literally have no idea what's going to happen now. I'm not getting political, all right? But if you watch the news, we're launching missiles and we're doing things. And things are getting a little tense around the world. We've got all sorts of national enemies and all sorts of different problems we could have, and we have no idea what's going to happen. Now, the good news is I'm still holding my April 1st to 10th area of 2026. All right, that's still a possibility. We hadn't hit April yet. I can come today, but if my prediction's good, then we might be out of here in April, all right? And if it's not, well, oh well, that was a nice guess, and praise the Lord. We'll just move on, all right? I didn't write a book, all right? I'm not like putting this in lights that this is going to happen, but man, I'm... the more I look, the more I think, Lord, we're close. I mean, we're getting real close. We're going home. Get out of here. Don't have to worry about a thing ever again. We got a lot to request. We got a lot of worries. We got a lot of troubles. We got a lot of problems in this world. But the truth is that God is still God. And although we need Him desperately, He also would like to hear our praises and our thanks for all the things that He's done. This is much less natural for us. It is natural for us to cry out to God for help when everything's going wrong and you're sinking. It is easy for us to go, "Lord, save me." When we start having some things happen and we want to see God do some things, it's usually, for a Christian, it's much more, I don't want to call it natural, but it's easy. It's simple. It's usually one of the things that we're willing to do is to ask God to go ahead and intervene on somebody's behalf or on our own behalf on whatever we have happening. Someone's got cancer, somebody's in trouble, somebody's at the hospital, somebody's dealing with this. We need this bill paid and we need this taken care of and we need a new vehicle and we need a new house and we need a new and we need this and we need, and I got problems at the job and I got problems over here and I need you. Lord, I just need you to take care of these things. That's easy for us to do. Christians, that, and there's nothing, I'm not knocking that. That's not what I mean. I mean, if that's all that you pray though, and all your time with God when you're talking to Him is "give me the portion of goods that falleth to me," bad attitude toward God. That makes you a taker and a very unthankful one at that. God wants some thankfulness and He wants some praise. He ought to be praised and thanked for everything that He does. You say, "Yeah, but I don't like what He's doing." Thank Him anyways. In everything, give thanks. You say, "I don't know how this is going to work." Me neither. You know, there's some things that happen to us, we have no idea what God's doing. No idea. And then you turn around and go, "Wow, what an amazing God," later when you find out what He's trying to do. At the moment, it doesn't seem so great, but later you might be able to find out that God was using that beyond measure. I was at ordination service yesterday as part of the council. Most of you know Jeremiah Miller, Jerry and Hannah. He's the pastor in Olcott now. And we did his ordination yesterday over in Auburn, Brother Dunbar. He's out of Brother Dunbar's church originally, and so he did the ordination there. And hearing the message and part of the idea of being a Christian and being part of the ministry and doing work and trying to be part of that life is that you want to minister to others. Well, Christians are supposed to minister to others. Whether you're in the full-time ministry or whether you're just a Christian sitting in a pew, your goal is to help somebody else out. And the troubles that we go through are the troubles that God allows into our lives because He knows who we're going to be able to be in contact with and help. So sometimes the preachers, the pastors of churches and missionaries and evangelic people who are in that all the time come in contact with more people who are hurting or damaged or broken or just feeling like failures or they're, and so then you go, well, how come Pastor Legault went through so many things? How come Brother Sam Gipp has gone through so many? How come all these guys, you hear about all these stories of what people have gone through and the troubles and the so they could help people? Well, can't you thank God for your troubles if you know it's going to help somebody else later? He takes us through our troubles, the trials that we have, the afflictions that we have, those parts, even then he can get praise and He can get glory because we understand that He's going to use what's happening now for something down the road. So we can be thankful and we can praise Him even in the hard times. And you ought to be able to do that to Him through your prayer life and talk to Him and actually thank Him. You know, it's great to stand up in church, and we're going to hear testimonies of Youth Ablaze this evening and the Waters meetings and maybe some other stuff if people want to keep going. And I probably won't be preaching tonight. I'll have something just slated up if we have the time. I'm not planning on preaching if everybody's going till, you know, 8 o'clock tonight. We're not doing a message. You hit 7:30, there's no message, all right? So that's just, we'll go home. But We're going to hear testimonies, and it's great to give testimonies in church and praise God toward everybody around you and tell them how great He is and how wonderful He is. Part of my wound care and my healing, by the way, no bandages, not even a Band-Aid anymore. The Lord's taken care of it all. He's fixed it. I'm healing well, and I don't need to go see wound care this week or anything like that. It's all taken care of. But you say, what have you done? Well, some of that, I got to praise God at wound care last Monday, especially. They said, their answer was, what are you, like superhuman healing this week? What is going on? Like, how did this even, you don't even need anything hardly on this. You just need to keep it covered for a few more days. We'll schedule you for next week. That would have been tomorrow. But if it's all closed up and everything's fine, don't worry about it. And they said, I don't understand how you're healing like that. I said, I do. I got whole church people praying for me. I got people in India praying for me. I got people in, up in Canada praying for me. I've got guys in Mexico that are praying for me. I've got missionaries all around the world praying for me. I've got churches across New York State praying for me that know. I got different pastor friends of mine that know they're praying for me. I said, I got all sorts of people praying for me. It's just God doing what He does. And what are you doing? I was giving Him some praise. And I know that praise goes to Him. But is it great to tell everybody else how wonderful He is and never tell Him how wonderful He is? Isn't it different when somebody says, you know, hey, Brother John, Brother Kevin, he's doing a great job with the visitation stuff, and he's doing a great job helping out around the church, and he's doing wonderful. But Brother Kevin never knows that I say that about him, and I never walked over and told him that. Never thanked him for showing up or doing or what. The ladies do a great job of making sure all the meals and all the things are taken care of and all this stuff is done. And if we never, hey, thanks for taking care of that. We talk about everybody else, but we don't tell them. Gentlemen, go through your life never telling your wife that you're thankful and grateful for the things that she does, and tell everybody else how grateful and thankful you are, and she just doesn't know it. Now you say, well, the Lord knows because He hears everything and He does. Yeah, I know. But boy, wouldn't it be nice just to spend about 5 minutes of your prayer time to go ahead and just thank Him for being good, being amazing, doing the things that He does that nobody else can do. Doesn't He deserve that? And so our prayer life, well, why do we pray? We pray because we need help. We pray because we have some requests. We pray because God deserves praise. All right, well, pointedly, what do we ask for? Are there specifics of what we ask for? Well, we'll go over 1 John chapter 1. Definitely can make this 2 weeks, just for the record. 1 John chapter 1. You know the verse number 9, right? If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. Well, let's face it, number one on the list of everybody on the planet ought to be forgiveness. What do you pray for? Well, when you sin, you ought to be praying and asking God to forgive you for that. We had to pray and ask God to forgive us of our sins when we accepted Him as the Savior. Now, we didn't list individual sins at that particular moment because God doesn't ask us for that. Not at that moment. I do not believe that if you didn't confess every sin you've ever committed in your lifetime individually the day that you got saved, that God didn't save you. Because let's face it, you and I forget, and even the day you got saved, You didn't even know some of the stuff that was sin that you were doing, and you got saved, and all of a sudden you're like, oh, that was wrong too? Could you imagine if you missed one specific sin that you'd failed at, and you step up and God, you step into eternity, and the Lord's like, well, nope, you're gonna spend eternity in a lake of fire over there. You're like, whoa, wait a minute, I trusted Christ as my Savior. Yeah, but you missed this lie that you told when you were 8 years old. I know you called on 42, but you should have remembered that lie right there at 8. Isn't that ridiculous? Right? That's not salvation, right? Salvation is, God, I know I'm a sinner. And I know I've done a ton wrong, and you died to save me. And you rose again to give me the gift of eternal life, and I'm going to ask Jesus to be my Savior because I know He died for me, and He paid my sins. And we make, that's a broad spectrum, cover my sins. And the Lord says, yep, I'll do that. And He saves us immediately. Takes care of them all, and for eternity, past, present, future sin, that's all covered, right? That's how eternal security works. And I know Pastor Legault talked about that over the last few weeks there. And how we have eternal security, and we don't have to worry about our sin ever taking us to hell, lake of fire for all of eternity, because God saves us. But then we know that in fellowship and walking with God, we have a different issue. Which is why I say this. This is much more specific than the idea of just, Lord, save me from my sin. I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. Christian, we don't go through our lives walking through going, God, we get to the end of the day and we pray a blanket prayer right before we go to bed so you can sleep better. And come down, that way you feel better about yourself. So you get down and you say, God, I know I did some stuff wrong today. I'm sorry. Forgive me. That's not the way a Christian ought to be praying about their sin. Our sin is much more serious than that at that point. God has delineated that you and I, as we live in this life, we have sinned. And as Christians, we can still sin. And when we sin, we have an advocate with the Father. But when we sin, see, there's the key. When it happens, that's when we're supposed to confess it. We're not supposed to drag it out longer and wait till the end of the day, and then have to come to God. Now, I get it. There's going to be some things you may forget. And I don't think God's going to be, He's not a hard and an austere man, no matter what the guy tried to say, all right? He's not a hard and austere man, and He may take that, especially from a young Christian who doesn't know any better. But some of us have been saved long enough that when we have made a mistake and we know that we've made the mistake, we need to get it fixed now, not at the end of the day and hope we remember all the things we did. There's a little bit more. As you grow in the Lord and you figure out, hey, guess what? I messed up right there. As soon as we figured it out, you know what we need? We need to call on the Lord and fix that. There is no point in the Christian walk where you can go ahead and basically, for all intents and purposes, spit in God's face and keep walking and act like He's supposed to go with you. Wounded in the house of His friends. Our prayer life, first and foremost, after giving Him thanks and giving Him glory, ought to be, God, please forgive me, I did this wrong. Say, boy, if I had to list everything that I do wrong in a day, yeah, maybe that's why you don't change. You know why people get uncomfortable when you talk about sin? Because we're sinners. We are really good at it. And if we had to come to God, which we're supposed to, every time we made a mistake, every time you told a lie, every time you said the wrong thing, every time you had a bad attitude, every time that you were looking at something you shouldn't look at, every time you were going where you shouldn't go, every time you were drinking what you shouldn't drink or eating what you shouldn't eat or doing what you shouldn't do, if you had to come to God every time you did that, wouldn't you look at yourself and be like, could we just stop that? But you know what I find? I find that we don't do it that way. We let them pile up for a while and then we're like, God, I'm sorry for all this. And then we wonder why we think we're good when we're really not living good. Maybe we'd live better if we took the time when it happened to ask Him to forgive us and we realized how many times in a day we failed Him. Maybe it kind of
wake us up a little bit and go, boy, I am not as good as I like to project myself to be. God, I lost my temper right there. Shouldn't have lost my temper. God, I said that and I shouldn't have said that. God, I did that. I shouldn't. God, I thought that about that person. God, I still have that bitterness right there. I need to get rid of that. God, say, boy, I'd spend all day in prayer. Almost like pray without ceasing exists in your Bible. That's why that's there. Open communication. When I fail him, I can call on him. When I need him, I can call on him. When I just want to talk to him, when something great happens, when I just want to thank him and praise, I can talk to him. Right? Okay. Well, yeah, but all my prayer life would be, I'm sorry. Okay, well, that's better than your prayer life of non-existence. At least then he knows you care to talk to him, and at least he knows you care about the relationship, and you, at least he's like, okay, well, maybe you'll start figuring out that you've been doing that area of your life is affecting you more than it used to, and you need to fix it. You need to start making changes. When do we realize that we need to change some things in our lives? Oh, I change it right when I know it's wrong. Sometimes we hold on to it for a little while, don't we? Until it bothers us enough, until it costs us, we have a tendency to hang on to it. Someone doesn't get addicted to drugs or alcohol or anything else. They don't get addicted the like immediate first time they take it usually. But they liked it, or they liked the effect it had, so they did it. And then they did it again, and then they did it again. And then they enjoyed that, so they kept doing it, right? And until it starts to cost them their wife, their kids, their family, their job, their house, they'll keep doing whatever they do. Until it starts to cost them enough, and then they realize, this is too much. I don't want to pay this anymore. And then they want to fix it. Now, oftentimes, it's far too late. We've seen that, right? Christian, could you imagine if all it cost you was some prayer time to realize this is costing too much? How can I keep coming to God for this thing over and on? I came to God 30 times today for the same thing. But that'll make me feel bad. How do you think it makes him feel? Right? We feel bad. Okay, well, I don't want to feel bad. Okay, well, that's contemporary churches. You don't want to feel bad, you can go to contemporary churches. But when you get to the Bible, sometimes we feel bad. Because truly, we see who we are versus who God is. And he's holy and he's just and I'm not. And so maybe our trouble is this, that we don't come to him when we sin and get forgiveness when we need to, and we put it off so we can make ourselves feel better, like we're doing okay. And then we end the day with, God, please forgive me for everything I've done. And usually he's merciful and he's gracious. I get that. But that puts you in that idea of presumptuous sins by presuming that God just has to forgive you, wipe it all away, and not worry about it ever again. And that you're not really affecting him. And you're not really affecting anybody around you. You know how somebody becomes a compulsive liar? They do it. Over and over and over again. And they get so used to lying that they have a hard time telling the truth. Even when the truth wouldn't matter, they have a hard time. Could you imagine if they could be honest enough to tell God every time they lied? You wouldn't think that would affect them eventually? As a Christian, coming to God every time you told a lie? As a compulsive liar? Now, I don't know what you do. Most of us are really good at lying, though, so I'll just use that. Could you imagine every lie you told, every story you made up, everything that you exaggerated, every time that you just went, God, I'm sorry, that wasn't true. Make you think about being a liar, wouldn't it? You'd start being conscious of what we're doing. Say, man, you're preaching a lot right here. I know. But this is one of those spots where I don't think we utilize our prayer life the way we should. Because I know I don't. I know I look back and go, I knew that was wrong. I should have taken care of that earlier. And you know what it's done for me thinking about it that way? Maybe think more about what I do wrong. And why do I do what I do wrong? And Lord, please, I don't want to keep doing that. And so that's why I'm bringing it up. You say, why? Because I'm guilty. I'm guilty of putting those off, waiting a while.
Look over at James chapter 1. Let's get happier. I think myself happy. So let's think about James chapter 1. All right. James chapter 1, verse number 5. You know the spot. These are all familiar to most, if not all of you. James chapter 1, verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. And let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Wisdom. You need wisdom? Be specific. God, I need to know about that. God, I need help understanding that. God, I don't know how to handle this. This is one of the prayer requests. Forgiveness. Forgiveness, by the way, is unlimited with God. His mercies are renewed every morning. His compassions, they fail not. His unforgiveness is limitless. Or His forgiveness, I'm sorry, is limitless. He won't just leave you hanging. If you want forgiveness, He's got it. Well, if you want wisdom, He's got that too. I think we don't avail ourselves enough of God's wisdom. I mean, He's got it all. You say, well, I don't know what to do with this. Okay, well, ask God. He's got all the wisdom you need. You just have to go ahead and lean into His wisdom. Lean not on thine own understanding. Go with His wisdom. Learn what He wants you to learn. Understand what He wants you to understand. Do it His way. Well, I don't understand. That's okay. Just do it His way. Wisdom. God, I don't know what to do with this. You know, sometimes you get to a spot in your life where, and many of you have been there just like I have, where you look at God and you go, God, I don't understand, but I'm going to do it because I know you did it. That's what you want me to do. I don't understand why we're doing this. I don't really like that we're doing this, but I'm going to go ahead. And then there's sometimes where you've looked at God and said, God, I don't know what to do. And He tells you what to do. And you're like, okay. And you just do it. And it's easy because you really had no idea what to do. And you're like, what's best for me? Lord, I don't know. And you follow Him. And that's the idea. The idea is, hey, if you don't have wisdom, you don't understand what you need to do, you don't have an idea on that situation, you realize every once in a while I'll sit in my office and I've got somebody talking to me and they're asking me something and I've never dealt with it before. Shocking, I know. But there's situations, I don't know what to do with that. Okay, well, who does? Well, God does. God knows the right answers, right? And you sit there, you're like, well, I don't know what to say in this witness. There's somebody out, you know, you're talking to somebody, you're witnessing to somebody, and you look at them, and they ask you a question, or they say something, and you're like, Lord, I don't even know how to respond to that. What do I do with this? If you ever witnessed to some, you know, for any length of time you've done any witnessing, you get a spot where somebody asks you or says something weird, and it's out there, and you're like, I don't know what to say to that. This is a little too much on this end. Lord, what do I do? By the way, witnessing, a lot of times, you just go right back to the gospel. Just start it back up. Just ignore what they said and move over. Now, normally, I don't encourage ignoring what people say. But in that case, if it's way off in the weeds, don't worry about it. They're just trying to distract you. Go back to what you were doing. All right, but you know, sometimes there's just some wisdom you don't know what to do with it. You may have the scriptures in your mind because you've read through the Bible and you've read them, but that scripture is just not coming to mind. You don't have the wisdom you need on application. What verse is going to help me or help them with what's happening? Okay, well, if you lack wisdom, let them ask of God. And He's given it to all men liberally. He wants everybody to have it. He's liberal with it. It's the only time you like liberals, right here. God's liberal. I said that out loud. I wasn't supposed to say that out loud. Anyways, he's
You want the liberality of God right there. You want Him to just start giving you wisdom and just pouring it out. More wisdom than you could ever need. He has. But the question is, would you go to Him and ask for it? We're supposed to. Look over at James chapter 5. We're right here. James chapter 5. Forgiveness, we pray. What do we pray for? The point of prayer is for forgiveness. It's for wisdom. We'll jump in right here. James chapter 5 verse 13. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if you have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I'm not going to get into all the doctrinal things that go along with all of this. Ultimately, you get to pray for others, and you should. You ought to pray for other people and what they need. Whether it's sickness, whether it's finances, whether it's work, whether it's a car, whether it's whatever is going on, whether it's personal issues and problems, whether it's unspoken requests, whatever it is. That's why we come together on Wednesday, right? We come together on Wednesday to take requests from everybody so that we can all as a church pray for these people. Some people you know, some people you've never met, some people that you heard about and at prayer meeting, and that's it. That's the only way that you know them. You know them because, you know, Brother Larry asked prayer for so-and-so, or you know them because, you know, Brother John asked prayer. Somebody asked prayer and you just wrote it down, and that's it's a name on a page to you, but it's a person to God. He knows who it is. It may be somebody in the church. I mean, Brother John just asked me and how he's doing, and he's, the sores are getting better, but he's still needing insurance approval for the injections that are really going to do the work and keep things under control. And so he's still got some struggles and some problems and some issues with it. What are we doing? We're praying for somebody. We know him, right? Missionary out of our, we know Brother Matt. Whether you know him or whether they're a stranger to you, you can still call upon God to do something for them. You know somebody's in need, you go ahead and pray for them. Other people need you. You know, it's not always the question of, well, you know, if they were spiritual, they'd get through to God. Well, sometimes the Lord wants a few voices to go ahead and call out together and just say, hey, God, we all want you to do something with this. We don't know what you're going to do. Maybe you're not going to do it our way, but this is what we'd like to see happen. And if you could do that, that'd be great. But either way, you're great. So just go ahead and do what you want. But we're all concerned about so-and-so. Whoever that, okay. We pray for forgiveness. We pray for wisdom. We pray for others. I got piles of verses for these. I'm just doing the slightly quicker version. Lastly, 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2, and we'll be done right here. We'll take a break after this passage right here. I feel like somebody sped that clock up there. Sorry, daylight savings time's next week, and we'll fix it. So, everybody just wants me to hurry up, I know. 1 Timothy chapter 2, and verse number 1. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Then he kind of gives you a little rundown of some of the people you ought to be including supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanks for. All right? For kings and for all that are authority, that we may lead a quiet and a peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Here he is. His statement is, hey, you ought to pray ultimately for all men, but for leaders in particular. These leaders are both physical and spiritual, but in this instance, he's talking about the salvation of the lost worldly leaders. On top of that, he's also calling that they would be able to make it so that they go ahead and rule righteously ultimately, so we can go ahead and have a good and a quiet, peaceable life. in godliness and honesty. If you're living godly and honest, the hope is that the rulers won't come after you, right? Now, sadly, that's not how it works all the time in the world, especially, but that's what you're praying for. Whether you like the leader or not, whether you're here in New York and you like the governor and you like your assemblymen and your congressmen and all the, whether you like them or you don't like them. Some of them you may like, some of them you may not like. Whether you like them or not, the idea is pray for them. Why? For your own benefit at this point. That sounds selfish. That's what he said, isn't it? You pray for them so you can have a quiet and a peaceable life. You pray for them so that you can be all right. And so we pray that way. And then notice what he says about it. He says, that's good and acceptable in the sight of God. And then he says, because I want everybody saved. And if you can live a quiet and a peaceable life in all godliness and honesty, that makes it so you can give the gospel. And that part of being a godly life is to give the gospel. And so if you can give the gospel freely, then you can go ahead and see people get saved. And if people can get saved, then we're doing good. And so that's the contrast. The contrast is, if you don't pray for those leaders, you may not have that. And whether you like them or you don't like them, you pray for them, even if it's just the selfish prayer of, so that I can live a quiet and a peaceable life. I would hope that your leaders, I hope you pray for the physical leaders, especially in the day and age we live in. But also, I'm going to be selfish and say, I hope you pray for me that I have wisdom and that I have understanding and that I'm not foolish in what I'm doing, and that the Lord blesses and makes it so that the church runs quiet and peaceably here. I don't have any issues, and we're not having schisms, and we're not causing, and there's not an uproar, and things are doing well. That's the goal. And so it works both ways, but I mean, we're talking about both sides. And so I hope that your prayer life is one that is being fulfilled in some of those areas. The purpose and the point of prayer. Why do we pray? What do we pray for? I hope you're getting some of that in. Next week we'll look at the rest. Maybe we'll see how far I get. And just a little bit on prayer. Father, we thank you for the day. Lord, I thank you for the ability to pray. The wonderful privilege of prayer to come before the throne of God and be able to talk with you and speak with you, and Father, give you some praise and some honor and some thankfulness. But Lord, also we could make our requests known and we can talk with you. We cry out to you in our troubles and in our problems and the cares and the concerns of others. Lord, once again, I do pray you would bless the services today. Strengthen us with the Word of God and with the prayers of the saints today. Father, we love you and I pray you'd come back soon. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, take a break.